Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shevska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on, get in! From Ventnor, New Jersey, and live from New York City, this is the news that you can use from YAA with your hosts, Zach and Ray. How's the big city there, handsome?
I'm doing pretty good, Pops. Everything is good here in New York City. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I understand we only have you for a little bit, so let's get this show on the road, buddy.
Wrong one.
This is not a sorry you gotta
Pops,
be kidding me.
I think someone's at the door. Can you let him in?
Oh my God. The F&I goddess herself, Miss Kimberly Klein, is here with us. It must be Friday.
It's Friday. You gotta be kidding me. It's Friday. Hi guys.
How are you, Kimberly?
Very, very good. Thank you. Very good. We got lots to talk about. We gotta squeeze all this in while we have Zach.
Yeah, I'm going to be here about 15 minutes. Also, Justice, thank you for reminding us. We are 200 episodes in, guys. 200th episode. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is crazy. Yeah. Do I get a raise for that?
Get out of here.
I mean, there were those who said it would never last.
Yeah.
I might have been one of those who said that, but that's beside the point.
Do you guys want to kick it off with the Toyota news? Because this is pretty wild. We've got the quarterly earnings from Toyota, and also Carvana came out earlier today as well. Profit plunging at both organizations, although at least on Toyota's end, they still make money. Profit down 42% at Toyota, Pops. What'd you make of this?
Well, you know, they're struggling. They're having a hard time. They admit that they're having supply chain issues, and it's impacting their business. And the cost of the supplies has gone up, and they're doing their best with their suppliers to absorb some of those costs. And so their net profit dropped from, like, 12.6% or 12.8% down to 6.8%. A really significant drop in their net income. And their revenues are down, which I guess is to be expected when you ain't building the number of cars you expected to build.
And Kimberly, you're obviously super active in the community forum, and you see plenty of people complaining about what's going on trying to find Toyotas. I guess you're not too surprised by this as well.
Not so surprised, but I will take one little piece out of this article that jumped off the page at me, and that is the stumble starts a challenging financial period after a fiscal year in which Toyota smashed earnings records. In the year ended March 31st, they achieved all-time highs for revenue, operating profit, and net income. So, you know, there's two sides to it, and it is, I go back to Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton, the third or fourth law, what goes up must come down. Okay, so there you go.
God bless Isaac. He knew what the hell he was talking about. Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah.
It is kind of wild to think that last year, so remember, we've been talking a lot about how Ford is absolutely crushing it right now relative to their peers in terms of vehicle production, and Toyota is struggling mightily. But part of that is a bit like mired in the fact that last year Toyota was doing really well and Ford was doing really poorly. And so to your point, Kimberly, they were making a ton of money last year while everyone else was struggling. And right now they're struggling while everyone else is doing well. It's kind of fascinating to see that happen because it means these chip shortages and supply shortages and everything. It's not like you can just snap your fingers and they're fixed. There's plenty of other challenges that can, you know, like natural disasters and things like that, that have been plaguing the country of Japan. It's just interesting to see how that all kind of comes full circle and can impact these companies year over year.
100%. And I will say it's at times it's kind of difficult to make sense of all the news that's coming out, isn't it, you guys? I mean, you do this on a daily basis and you do make sense of it all, but you have all this data coming. Show me the data. You have data coming from all different areas that we never imagined would ever happen, like shortages and parts and all the way down to minerals, you know, to put these things together.
And the thing that amazes me is there's so many different ways to interpret the same data,
yeah,
and draw different conclusions from those data points. It's is it data or data? I never knew how to say it.
Let's dig into that very point with regards to Carvana. They reported their second quarter earnings, if you want to call them that. And Dad, their stock popped when these earnings came out. So you can help explain that to us. That's how people
help us understand that. Yeah.
The title in Automotive News reads, Carvana books second big loss despite returns from a Odessa acquisition. How big were those losses? Let's come down here. Carvana said Thursday it posted a net loss of $439 million in the quarter ending June 30th, a far cry from its landmark, $45 million profit 1 year ago, but smaller. Can you guys believe this? Smaller than their $506 million first quarter loss. Wow. Wow.
That's some data.
You know, and I'm not, as you know, I'm not real good at doing math. Okay. But that swing in the second quarter was a $484 million swing. Okay. Negative swing of $484 million from the same quarter last year. Those are staggering numbers. And then to read further into the article where, well, the Carvana stock went up like 13% after those earnings reports. And the only thing I could think is, well, nothing succeeds quite like failure. We're not making money yet, Zach, but damn it, we need to go public. it might be time because, you know, obviously there's a lot of people out there that want to keep betting on a losing proposition. Maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they really think Carvana is going to turn into Amazon. I don't get it. I know you always tell me the stock market is forward looking, but that was looking at the present. That was looking at the last 90 days, the recent past, and you extrapolate out of almost $1 billion in losses over the last 180 days. You extrapolate out of that and say, oh shit, this should, excuse me. Oh my God, this should go up in value. I mean, how do you come to that conclusion?
Does this take into consideration all the fines and everything that they went through, all the fees, all the fines, all the attorneys, things that they've had to pay for their little mishaps here and there as well? Their shutdowns, their slaps on the hand, you know, does that take into consideration all of that money spent too? I don't know.
I would think it must, doesn't it, Zach?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, every expense that they have. Let's dig into some of the numbers, however. They sold 117,564 cars and trucks in the second quarter, up 9% year over year. So a slower growth rate than they're used to. Profit per vehicle descended, came down almost $1,700, $1,752. Their profit per vehicle was down year over year to $3,300. And $68. So still making a considerable amount per vehicle. How do they end up then losing $500 million? Well, it's because it's so expensive for them to have these cars and do all the work that they do. But you know, on a per vehicle basis, we can make a ton of money. But then when you start to look at all the other costs associated with running their business,
right,
it makes you wonder how long they can actually sustain that. But as long as people are willing to underwrite it and give them money, you'll still have Carvana as an option. We have seen offers at Carvana to buy cars just, I don't want to say tank, but like significantly come down. That's like, yes, we see Echo Park beating them frequently, Driveway beating them frequently. And Justice, I know you're in the chat. Feel free to tell me I'm right or wrong, but like we are seeing other companies provide better buy offers than Carvana traditionally has.
Yeah,
they're obviously their expense structure is not something that would lend them to become profitable anytime soon, but. You know, the fact that 1 year ago at this time, 1 year ago, they reported their first quarterly profit ever in the history of the company, ever. Okay. And to have a $484 million negative swing from that $45 million profit, that's a staggering number that if it apparently it doesn't bother investors, but it would make me question the capabilities of those who are in charge of running the company. I mean, that takes a lot of work to go from a $45 million profit to a $449 million loss. I mean, you know, you can't do that without trying really, really hard. There's a certain work ethic associated with being able to do that.
Yeah.
Completely agree. All right, one other story I'm going to pull up on the screen, then I'm leaving you two for it. I know. I got faith in both of you. Dad, you shared this one with Kimberly and myself. It is not only Toyota that is having an emissions scandal right now.
Yes.
You know, Motors, FCA US, so Stellantis, their Fiat Chrysler US division, put on probation and to pay $300 million for an emission scheme. EcoDiesel engines from 2014 to 2016 didn't meet emissions requirements. Can't be too surprised to hear of another emission scandal. 101,000 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Ram 1500s are part of this situation. And in June, FCA pleaded guilty to conspiracy in a federal court in Detroit over all of this. Not a good look.
And Stellantis must be feeling really good about this because, well, they're the ones that have to pay the fine for the company that they bought that were the ones that actually committed the infractions. But I just really think that this proves my point that governments all across the world have asked automobile and truck manufacturers to be able to produce vehicles that don't emit emissions to the same degree as they have in the past. And the goals that they've set just really aren't achievable. So it has become cheaper for every one of these manufacturers to just lie, cheat, and steal and pay the fine and write it off over the cost of time.
Yeah. And you know what, Zach, I worked with Volkswagen during Dieselgate, and they sent in some subcontractors to sit in our offices for 2 years, dulling out checks to customers for buybacks. What Ray just said, you might immediately think, don't you think they would have learned by now or taken some hints from Volkswagen? But I'm with Ray on this. I think it's just easier to write.
Well, the deeper you dive into it, I mean, these things happen all the time. As I was doing the research on Toyota, actually, it's like literally every single Japanese automaker has had an emissions scandal. So has every single American automaker. Like, it's just the reality. So every automaker is going to do this. And to your point, that might bring a bit of validity to the idea that, okay, maybe the rules are set in such a way where everyone's going to try their best to cheat it and make it work, but in reality they can't.
I think the ask for most government agencies, whether they be European governments, Japanese governments, the United States government, the asks for what they should be able to produce is just not a realistic ask. It would be like me saying, I want to be 6'5" and be able to shoot 45% from 3-point land. You know, it's not achievable. But it's a great ask. You know, someday, you know, I might make it in the NBA. If the NBA stood for something other than basketball.
What does this say about customers, though, you guys? What does this say about how the manufacturer feels about their loyalty for the brand? Because I remember Volkswagen, there were a lot of really, really angry people. And they were mad at Volkswagen.
Did you read any of the comments on our Toyota video yesterday? People were like standing up for Toyota in the comments. They were saying, this is because of the government, not because of Toyota. So I think there's a lot of like brand loyalty and a lot of like, all right, you know, this happens. It's a cost of doing business. I told you guys 15 minutes after the top hour, I had to jump. May I remove myself?
What do you have for us for the last 15 minutes of the show there, handsome? I don't
you
have
got
anything
me.
Pulled up.
You got me, buddy.
If
you got
I blow
me.
Up, ladies and gentlemen, it's only because I had an internal sneeze and not an external one.
I can leave you with that. How about that?
I guess that'll have to do. Have a great lunch.
I recommend typically bashing Ford works.
Okay, so you want me to bash for that? Doesn't take my that doesn't take long.
See you guys. Have a great Friday.
Well, thank you. Bye, Zach. Thanks for stopping by.
Yes, we'll see you. Oh my gosh, Ray. Oh my gosh. Well, I've got some things to go over, Ray. If you want to go on and bash Ford first.
well, if you'd like me to bash Ford.
Oh my god. Funny, you know, how funny is that?
I mean, in today's video on our YAA YouTube channel, we're talking about Ford's quality control issues and how they think, well, the best way to solve that issue is to pay closer attention to what their customers are saying on social media.
That's so dumb.
Doesn't that make sense? There was a comment from one of our viewers who said, so apparently the quality control is no longer an issue at the manufacturer. It just becomes the customer's issue. They're the quality control expert now.
That's right. It's very interesting, the psychology of it all, Ray, about brand loyalty and what manufacturers actually think about their customers. Sometimes I think they really just don't care about their customers because they're kind of conditioned to think they'll buy from us anyway and we'll sell enough to make do. We'll be fine, you know? And then other times I think, I just don't know. It's a psychology.
I would say based on how VW has survived and even prospered after the scandal, you're absolutely right. You know, it was like, I don't know how many billions, I think it was like $3.5 billion, excuse me, they had to spend to buy back customers' vehicles. But to them, that was much cheaper than actually trying to bring those diesel vehicles up to the standards that the federal government had hoped for.
Yeah.
So, and they knew, we'll lose a small percentage of our customers, but you know, they're what, the second or third largest vehicle manufacturer in the world. They've survived. They've prospered.
Right.
They didn't care. And Stellantis doesn't care. And Hino Motors in Japan, that Toyota owns the majority of, they don't care. It's a small price to pay.
Right.
Yeah,
and to think about all the customers that you and I have ever met out there that are brand loyal or were brand loyal. I mean, I also worked for Subaru too. You're talking about some diehard loyal people out there for Subaru. Stop and think, people, that's really nice that you love the brand and everything, but to be so loyal, do remember that the manufacturer, in my opinion, they don't care about you. That's nice that you love their brand and their car and everything. I don't believe that the manufacturer really cares that much. It's all about the bottom line. Follow the money.
It is. I've said it many times. The manufacturers were always on our butts to make sure that we took care of the customer when there was an issue with the vehicle that they had manufactured.
Yeah.
And, you know, we as the selling dealers and we would always go out of our way to do whatever we could to try and keep the customer happy and try and correct the situation. Now, you know, obviously there's a lot of dealerships out there that don't, but my point is that anytime, most of the time when I would ask the manufacturer to step up and do the right thing, they chose not to. You know, they made a conscious decision not to. You know, they want the dealer to do it, but they don't want to have to be the one to do it. You know, now that doesn't mean that from a dealer perspective, I mean, I remember when I was at one of the Acura stores that I worked at, where we had a customer come in and he had a transmission problem. 80,000 miles on his car, needed a brand new transmission. He had always maintained it. He had every one of the service records. So I sat down and had a lengthy conversation with our factory service rep. And I got him to cover 90% of the cost of the transmission replacement so that, you know, the customer appreciated what I was able to do on their behalf. You know, when I did it, because I wanted to create a loyal customer. Now, the manufacturer, as much as they say they want loyal customers, they don't care. But the dealer, you know, the one that has to sell cars, at least where I worked, my thinking always was, well, it's cheaper to keep a customer than to replace them.
Yes.
I would always do whatever I could to keep a customer so that I wouldn't have to go out and find new ones all the time.
Right. We did the same thing. I mean, that's just right. That's just how you did it. You want to keep those customers and their customers' family and their customers' friends. And you want to keep that going, but that just doesn't happen anymore, Ray.
Well, there are still some dealers out there that get it and do it the right way. And there are still dealers out there that don't get it and are just in it for the short-term gain and not the long-term opportunity that they would have. But, you know, if you search hard enough, you'll find the good dealers that are willing to work with you, willing to help you, willing to do the things to keep you as a satisfied customer so that they don't have to invest as much money to replace you. It just happens.
Right. Have you seen commercials on television for new vehicles? And they've got maybe an APR incentive.
You know, I haven't recently.
Recently.
Although I did see something the other day where I don't know if it was a print ad or where General Motors, a GM, is offering 0% financing on some of their models.
Interesting.
Which I thought was interesting, considering the cost of doing that for them has gone up significantly because, you know, the Fed has raised rates.
Banks are tightening up. This is something that I threw out to the ladies in Driven for Women. If you are a lady out there and you want to become part of Driven for Women, please email me, Kimberly, KIMBERLY, at joinyaa.com, and I will make sure you get in there. But, Ray, you're always talking about car payments going up. And the average car payment is what, $700 now, right? Is that
the average
new car payment? We were just talking about this.
Yeah. The average new car payment is over $700. It's like $730 a month, which is
isn't that crazy?
Scary. Yes.
It's so crazy. So I came up with some things, and the ladies in Driven for Women helped me with this as well. If you don't mind, Ray, I'd like to go over them really quick.
Sure.
Of what you can do. What do you do, Ray, whenever you order your vehicle? I don't know. How long is it going to take? A month, 2, 6 months before it comes in? And put yourself in these shoes. You've ordered your vehicle, and you're watching the rates go up.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. And you're thinking, what's going to happen when my car comes in and rates are super high? Well, take that time. I'm just going to give you a few tips here what to do with it. Take the time to fix any credit issues that you might have. If there's something lingering on your credit report that shouldn't be on there, it's a mistake, get it off of there, right to the three credit bureaus to get that removed. So check for that.
And they have ways to be able to do that, to dispute things that are on your credit report so that they can be corrected and in many cases directly removed from your credit report.
Exactly. Back when I was in the finance office in 2018-19, it used to be you want to get your credit card limits under the usage under 50%. Well, now that's under 30%. So work to pay down those credit cards under 30% of the limit, okay? Because that's going to bring your score up and your debt to income mm-hmm. ratio is going to look much better. Shop rates with longer lock-ins. So take your time to do some internet sleuthing, check at some credit unions in the area. There are some credit unions out there that are offering longer lock-in rates, which means more than 30 days. I would take the time to do that while my car is being built. Keep your eye on incentives, Ray. We just talked about this. I believe I'm going to do a Kimberly prediction. I predict incentives will come back. We're seeing some slowing down, whether it's from this or from that. I think incentives are going to return. Not in a big way, maybe in a little way and maybe slowly, but keep your eyes on incentives. So if somebody says, hey, your car's going to be here before the end of the month, at the beginning of that month, check and see what incentives might be available.
As a matter of fact, there was just an article in Reuters, from Reuters, I think it was today, where many, many manufacturers are predicting that we will see an increase in incentives because there is an actual softening of demand for new vehicles. It might not seem like there is, but there is. The order banks aren't quite as full as they had been.
The
amount of time it might take to get your car once you've once it's been allocated, the amount of time to get it is becoming less and less. And there's an anticipation from the manufacturers that they expect inventory levels to increase, unsold inventory levels to increase on the ground at the dealerships, so that they are preparing themselves to have to go back to incentivizing the sales of these vehicles to their customers. So we should see moving forward, manufacturers.
Something, some incentives. Yeah.
Well, I was shocked at 0% financing.
That is shocking. I agree. It is. Yeah. It is.
It's a great deal when automobile finance rates are going up dramatically. And like I said before, that cost them a lot more to do that today than it did when interest rates were 0 or 1%. There's a major incentivized cost to doing that.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to Isaac Newton, right? It goes up, come back down. Stash your cash. The more money you have to put down, the better off you are. Especially if you're in the predicament where you have to get a vehicle. Stash your cash during this time. Shop insurance. Now might be a good time to check around for your insurance rates, look into it. A lot of people don't. I don't. Here's something else that I've started to do, Ray. Clip coupons for maintenance.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never had to do that before, but I got to do it now, and I'm looking at that.
I can tell you that when it comes to insurance, many years ago, I guess it was 7.5 years ago now, when I bought a vehicle for Zach when he dropped out of school to come home and help take care of his mother when she was sick. We were with Liberty Mutual at the time, and I bought a used Mazda 3, relatively inexpensive, and it was basically for Zach, and he was, 18, 19, 20 years old, whatever he was. I guess about 20. And Liberty Mutual the amount of money they wanted to charge me for adding that car was $6,000 a year for the family coverage. So yeah. I went and I shopped around and I found Geico at that time. And it was like $1,700, $1,800 a year. And that was when I switched to Geico. So there are some times when insurance companies forget that it's cheaper to keep your current insureds than it is to go replace them. But they forced me to shop their rates because they tried to take advantage of me. So absolutely, if you have a car on order, Yes, start shopping right now. You might be surprised at what you find. Yes.
That's right.
That's a great one.
That's funny. Jacob, when my son, whenever he was that age, I also put him in a little Mazda 3 hatch. They were great cars. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was. That's what Zach had, Zach and Dara. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought it for them, although Zach drove it most of the time.
They were. That he loved that thing. We could get a lot of IKEA in the back of that car, let me tell you. some side gigs. Some of the ladies were talking about, hey, you know, I do a little consulting on the side. I'm taking this money. I'm stashing it. And also, one of the other ladies said she's getting super strategic because student loans may be coming back. Yes. So, yeah, you kind of do have to get super strategic. If and when student loan payments come back and okay, now we have to make a budget. And I hate that word budget because I hate budgets, but keep that in mind. And Ray, you say it all the time. How do people do it? How we were talking the other day, weren't we, Ray, whenever people would come into our office and yell at me and say, I better be $300 a month and no more. That was a daily occurrence.
Yes.
What do people do now? Do they go in there and say, I better be $750 and no more? Are you kidding me?
I don't think incomes have kept pace with what automobile monthly payments are. They have just,
I don't think so.
I don't know how people do it. I don't get it, but I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a softening in the new car and used car marketplace right now.
Yes.
Because more and more people can't afford it. And as much as I hate the word budget as well, everybody really needs to have one. And I know when I used to ask a person, well, you must have given some thought as to what you could afford on a monthly basis. I mean, you have to have some idea. And when somebody would say to me, I don't have a budget in mind. I used to look at them and I say, you know, maybe Bill Gates and Warren Buffett don't have budgets, but I'm guessing they do. They're just a lot bigger than yours and mine. they can afford more on a monthly basis than you and I can, but I guarantee you they didn't get to where they got to by not having a budget and sticking to it.
Yeah.
Everybody should take a look at where every one of their dollars is going, whether you as a consumer or whether it's a business. You need to know where all your money's going so that you can look after properly.
100%.
My 2 cents. Yeah.
Your 2 cents, especially if you have a car on order right now, use your time wisely. So.
I would suggest you should, and I like the ideas that your Driven for Women group has come up with. They make perfect sense in today's world. Believe it or not, Kimberly, we have killed over 32 minutes today.
I just can't. It always, why does this happen all the time? Are we going through a time warp or something? And it goes so fast.
It really does. And I can't believe that my son's getting somebody to treat him to a nice lunch today. And I don't know about you, but he hasn't bought me lunch recently. How about you?
No. Hmm. Not to say that he wouldn't if I said, Zach, would you please buy me? I know he would.
Yeah, oh, he would.
No, he definitely would. But no, I haven't brought that up to him recently. So
you're
going
to. We're all going to need to come to the office and we're all going to need to make them buy us lunch.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And we should invite everybody watching today.
Okay. Y'all hear that. You heard it from Ray.
Yeah. Now forget that I even mentioned it. anyway, thank you for being here. You make my Fridays so much more enjoyable. I am so thrilled to have you here on Fridays. Have yourself great weekend. I believe Zach and I and I think Igor will be on the Saturday night live stream tomorrow night on the YAA channel. I believe it's 7:00. And for those of you who don't want to watch that, but you want to see us back here on Monday, we'll be back here at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with more news that you can use from YAA. Thanks again, Kimberly.
Thank you, Ray. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you
soon.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.